You're listening to the Nate Lull Podcast. Download each new episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And now, here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Episode 226 today here on the Nate Lull Podcast. A baseball episode as we kind of do a little rewind. This is one I've wanted to do since late in the spring when the Bainbridge-Guilford baseball team made a Cinderella run through the Section 4 Class C baseball tournament. They were the 9 seed and went on a heck of a run and made it all the way to the championship game before falling in a heartbreaker. So I kind of wanted to sit down with my two guests today and hear all about that journey. I have BG baseball coach Phil Bianchi, as well as one of the graduating seniors on that team, Ethan Beams. So not only do we get the coach's perspective, but we also get the player's perspective today of just how special this was. It's not an easy thing to do. A 9 seed in one of the best baseball sections in New York State. And they really had everybody on the edge of their seat for a couple of weeks in late May. And it was fun to get a chance to catch up with them now and hear about the whole story. Before we jump into today's interview, of course, I want to thank all our special sponsors here on the Nate Lull Podcast. They include Stewart's Shops, Clark Sports Center of Cooperstown, Certified Auto Outlet in Oneonta, Covered Bridge Farm Market in Unadilla, JM Electrical Contracting of Bainbridge, Advantage Maytag Home Appliance Center in Oneonta, the Delaware National Bank of Delhi, Certified Financial Planner Ed Curley. You can find him at Wells Fargo in Oneonta, Sportsfield Specialties of Delhi. We have NYCM Insurance of Edmiston, Springbrook, Preferred Mutual Insurance Company of New Berlin, as well as Gavin's Pizzeria in Sydney, and Macho's Tacos in Sydney. All right, episode 226 today, a BG baseball episode. So I hope you'll enjoy this one, folks, on the Nate Lull Podcast. Hey, everybody. Episode 226 today here on the Nate Lull Podcast. Going to take it back baseball time here. And even though fall sports is coming up, this is one I've had wanted to kind of circle back around to because of the magical run that I think BG baseball had this past year. So we'll get into all that. But of course, I have Ethan Beams here, graduated, moving on to the next level. So we'll talk about that, and head coach Phil Bianchi. So, coach, did I get it right? Bianchi, is that how
Yep, you got it right.
Excellent. Awesome. I wanted to make sure I got that right. But, you know, coach, I thought I would start with you first. Your team, a great season. I'm sure many ups and downs, but going into sectionals, a 9 seed, making it all the way, a Cinderella run to the sectional final. I mean, when you look back on it now, kind of as a general overview, like, what do you think about the season as a whole?
I'm proud of how it went. In the beginning of the season, I was talking with my modified coach, and we had high hopes that we would get to the point we got to. And then looking at how the season started off for us was a little rough. But towards the end, the guys started picking it up and pulling it all together.
When a season starts, you know, kind of up and down, you know, it's challenging. We were just talking out in the hallway. Weather's tough. You never know what's going to happen early in a season. Did you start to kind of wonder what was going to go on with this team, or was it like, if we just keep playing, it's going to come together?
I did have high hopes that we were going to come together. Something finally clicked with them. They just started hitting the ball more. They started fielding the ball more. They didn't let the errors get to them as much as it did in the beginning of the season. But overall, I was pretty happy with it.
Ethan, you were smiling over there. When this group clicked, I mean, can you put your finger on what it was, or just one of those magical things in sports you never know?
Well, I think it all started was when we played Deposit Hancock the second time. They beat us pretty good the first time. It was a no-hitter, I believe. And the guys were just upset. I was upset, and we said we got to change things moving forward.
Wow.
And that's basically what happened.
What makes, you know, playing DH so tough? I guess we can start with your perspective as a player. I mean, they just seem to have a good team every year, but you guys also had the horses to stay with them. So I guess maybe that loss was frustrating. But what makes them so tough to play against?
Honestly, their entire lineup are just really good hitters. They're a really good balance baseball team, and something you really don't see much, especially from a Class D school. But the fact that we were able to hang in with them and just kind of make them panic a little bit meant a lot to all of us.
Coach, when you're preparing for a team like DH, you know, a team that's won the league a lot in recent years and obviously has won a couple of state championships over the last 5-10 years, what's your message to the boys going into games like that?
I try to point out that they're just another team.
Yeah.
I know this season was the first time they lost their undefeated streak, so I was sure to point that out, that they are beatable. They're not magical. They don't just automatically win.
Ethan, for you, was there a vocal message to the team, you know, as kind of a team leader, that, hey, we need to change something? Or did it happen naturally with the group of guys that you have?
It just happened naturally. We got a great group of guys, and everybody was competitive. We all wanted to win. Like what Coach said at the beginning, things just didn't click. We had injuries. I was out with COVID. I had to watch from the sideline our first game of the season, and it was rocky, but we pulled through.
Was there a game, Coach, in the regular season that sticks out to you as, you know, we talk about that DH game, but where you saw it really come together? It was more than just talk at that point. Was there anything that stood out to you?
Before the DH game, really, no.
Yeah.
We went into that DH game knowing it was going to be a tough game because it was the playoffs for the MAC, and we were expecting to have a better pitcher throw against us, but we ended up pulling it together and played really well.
So I got the sectional bracket out, and I thought, let's start there because, I mean, that was the fun of the season. So you guys get seeded 9th in what is a very tough bracket. I mean, the IAC teams are always really good. And I saw this draw, and it's like, wow. I mean, Trumansburg is the 1 seed. They're looking really good. Union Springs is the 4. Tioga is the 5. I mean, all teams that traditionally are very strong. So you guys get that first game on the road, Spencer, Van Etten, Kander. Coach, let's start there. You guys get a 3-1 win. How did that set the tone for things?
It definitely set it to showing that we could do it and go somewhere. But it was always nice going to an away field and winning.
Mm.
As a coach, I was more confident with that game in particular because we were the 9 and 8 seed. So we were pretty close. I think their record ended up being a little bit less than ours, mm-hmm. but overall they were seeded higher just the way seeding works. We were confident in it. We had one of our better pitchers throwing, and like I said, it's nice going to an away field and being able to beat a team.
Did you also feel having a road game? I mean, there's a lot of philosophies on this, but did it feel like kind of less pressure? Like, hey, we're on the road. It's just us. It's just family. Let's do this.
Yeah, I was a little worried about the hour and 45-minute ride we had. was going to lull the guys to sleep a little bit.
Yeah.
But we ended up having that for all 3 of our sectional games before the finals, and it worked out pretty well. We did have to have a bathroom stop in one of the games, but it worked out well.
So, yeah, tell me about this bathroom stuff.
Well, basically, I think it was before Union Springs. We just kind of got some food because everybody was hungry, cranky. somebody had to use the bathroom. And I definitely had way too much to eat, but that's not going to stop me. So
that ride to Union Springs, which you guys took in the semifinals, is an absolute haul. I mean, that's one of the farthest places you can go, you know, in the western part of the section. So we'll get there in a minute. But, you know, Ethan, for you, that first game, what was it about you? Your senior season's on the line. What did your group go in thinking about?
We just wanted to win. We were pretty confident with Nolan on the mound. We have been confident in him all year, and he has great stuff. Props to him on an excellent season, and hope he goes far in college. We just kind of thought of it as like a regular game. We were playing in a really nice stadium that we've never even heard of. And it was what, in a movie or something?
Yeah, that's what we were told by the
Oh, wow.
Apparently coach. It was in a movie.
Yeah. I'll have to look that up. Yeah, it's a lot of those Western teams. I've been out there for other sports, but not so much for baseball and softball. So it's you never know on the road, right? So
no, not at all. So basically just to go out there and click and just have a good game. And after the game, we had a campfire at my house to kind of celebrate, you know, saying nice. This could be our last. But it was an excellent game by both teams.
Doing that little stuff off the field, you know, Ethan, what did that mean to you? Doing the campfire stuff. I mean, a lot of teams that I cover, maybe not the best of friends off the field. And it sounds like you guys are tight on and off the field.
We absolutely were tight. If you want to be a good baseball team, you gotta love each other and play with each other. I think that also helps with our run and our season. We didn't back down from a fight.
Do we know where Nolan's going to go to school in the future?
He is going to be going to BCC with me to play baseball, and he's saying he wants to transfer to BU to make that team.
Wow. That would be That'd be great. Coach, what was it about Nolan's stuff? I mean, you send me stats on all these games, and it just seemed like anytime he was on the mound, win or lose, he gave you a good performance.
I think from his freshman year on, he didn't let the errors get to him. So if we did have an error, he would be able to move on. He knew what he had to do on the mound. He was consistent at doing that, and he didn't let it bother him. If there was an error behind him, he just kept pushing with what he had to do. He knew that he can only control what he can control, and that's throwing strikes and working the batter.
You know, I mean, I'm sure you guys know Teddy McGraw, Oneana guy who just got drafted third round by the Seattle Mariners. And he came in here a couple of weeks ago, and he really talked about the mental side of the game as a pitcher and what they put him through at Wake Forest in college, a lot of mental training about almost that DH attitude of one pitch warrior, kind of forget it, flush it, whatever you want to say. You know, Coach, is that something you talk about with your BG guys?
So we started towards the end saying the job's not done or the job's not finished. I always said it wrong. but that mentality of there's always next, it's always moving forward. We have to get there. We're trying to finish it.
I like that. I like that a lot. Oh, and best of luck to Nolan for sure. Let's take a side road here. You say you're going to BCC, Ethan, but you have talked about playing, but you don't think you're going to. You know, where's your head at right now?
Well, at first I was going to go to Mohawk Valley, play there. Coach Warren over there was a great guy. Really made me feel at home already. Just seeing the facility over there, it was very nice for a community college. I think one of the best I've seen.
Yeah.
But my dad actually gave me a really good life lesson. It's don't pay money to play baseball.
You know, I don't think we've had that perspective on here. That's an interesting perspective in terms of we push a lot of, you know, athletes going to school and how are they doing it and playing at the next level and continuing your career. But I feel like you are very focused on what your career will be outside of sports. And so that helped you change your mind.
It did. It was a very tough decision. It took a while. My friends are like, dude, you should have played baseball. But I'm like, I don't know. Like my body after football, it's just really bad, really bad shape. I have to go to the chiropractor like every week.
Really?
To adjust myself.
You did take some big time hits. I mean, we've done enough BG football on the radio here that at times you were in harm's way and you did a lot of running around. I mean, how did that affect the rest of your sports career throughout the rest of the year?
Well, basically, my junior, senior year, I played with shin splints. I played with many injuries. Hit Pointer in Harpersville came out, needed to play. That's when I had that big hit on Florence. Sorry about that, buddy. But you just got to battle. During baseball, I really hurt my shoulder pretty bad. He wanted me to go see a doctor. I was like, no, I'm staying in there. I got to be with my guys. And I eventually got better after DHing like 5-6 games and were able to go from there.
So what would your future plans be? I know you've talked about doing some work now, saving some money, 2 years of school. What's the plan hopefully for you?
My plan is to be a state trooper. I really enjoy what they do. They risk a lot for all of us and it's a tough job, but my dad really doesn't want me to do it, but I just feel like it's right and it's in my path.
And just so everyone knows, I mean, your dad is a trooper and does a bunch with recruiting. Am I correct there?
Correct,
so, yep. I mean,
he did,
he's
not anymore. he's done with that.
But I mean, so he knows the job, so he can speak to it. And we were just saying off the air, I had lunch with Josh Greenman recently, who's a New York State Police investigator. And he's talking about how much the state police need guys right now. We've talked about maybe doing an episode about putting the word out there. Is there something within the police? I mean, I know there's a lot of different opportunities, something you'd want to do. I mean, you could do canine, you can do all that different stuff. What is it for you?
Probably an investigator. That's something I've always wanted to do, even though the stress level is extremely high. It, like I told you, it just feels right. It's in my blood. My grandpa's also a cop in Bainbridge, and we're starting the line here.
So not only, I got to say this, not only do you want to follow in your dad's footsteps in the police world, but he was a very good baseball player, correct? Was he on the state championship Afton team? Do you have to hear about
that? He was. He was, yes. He was on the state run for them, and they won it all, and he always brags to me, and I'm like, I really want a taste of that myself. And
I've wanted to do some more, and you know, he's the perfect guy to talk to, but I've wanted to do some more research on that team and maybe do some sort of reunion podcast.
That'd be awesome.
For that, to get a couple of those guys together. I think it would be fun. I find that even sometimes when you when you win, time just washes over some of that stuff and we forget about it. So it'd be neat to bring a couple of those guys together for sure.
Absolutely.
But Coach, going back to you, your team's going to face number one Trumansburg. I mean, they were 14-2 on the season. You got to go out there towards the end of May. You guys come away with an 11-6 win. And I can remember being at my phone that night and getting the info from you guys, putting it out on Twitter, and then my phone just exploded with other people asking me, how did that happen? What happened? How did they do it? So, you know, what's your memories from that day?
So I really just tried pushing that it was another just another game. Don't get hyped up that you think you need to overperform from what you normally can do. Have the mindset that they're just another team as well. But just to try to go into the game thinking it's a regular baseball game. Like, this isn't the second seed or first seed. It's not the second game of sectionals. It's just we're playing Trumansburg. It's Class C.
Yeah. For you, you know, as a younger coach, were you finding yourself in kind of some of these moments as this run went on? Like, that's the first time I've been in a moment like this. Where, I mean,
game but the first round of sectionals. Because last year we played Sydney and we were able to win that in the first round of sectionals. And then we went to Unitigo. So I don't have the second round. I didn't have the win under my belt. So everything after the first round was new.
Is there somebody, a mentor to you, somebody you call when you're looking for coaching advice? Or is there some resource that you use to try to say, hey, how can I get through this moment for myself, you know?
I really talk to my modified coach a lot. I used to call my father before he passed away. But now it's just I'm trying to roll with it. And I talk to other coaches.
Yeah.
To see what they have done in that situation or what they would have done if they made it to that situation.
It's one of those things. I mean, as a leader of young men, right? It's like you want to give them the right message, but you're learning too. Mm-hmm. And so I admire so many of these older coaches that I get a chance to talk with on here. It's like they've almost seen it all. And I'm like, man, what a career. But, you know, Ethan, for you, 11-6, you guys knock off the one seed. Senior year, I mean, the emotions that go into that. I mean, was there bonfire round two? What was going on?
Well, sadly, it was such a late night when we got back. We were all the guys were tired. I think we were definitely going to plan something at one of our buddies' camps, but we didn't get around to that. But like you said, I think everybody was shaking when it was definitely 11-6. I mean, I was shaking. Just the feeling of that game, I will remember it for the rest of my life.
And when you guys get all done with that, you're the only MAC team left in the sectional tournament in Class C. When you got the news that, you know, Unitigo Franklin, the 3 seed, had lost to Odessa Montour Watkins Glen 2-0, were you surprised by that news?
I definitely was. Definitely because they had Braden Johnson on the mound, and he is one of the best pitchers I've seen in this area. Props to him. He has a great work ethic. But right after I heard that, I texted my buddy Logan Utter.
Yeah.
From Unitigo, and I'm like, what happened? And he told me the pitcher, and he said he had a really good fastball, and I'm like, okay, we could work with that. We're good fastball hitters.
Right.
But yeah, we were ready for them.
Coach, were you surprised by that loss?
I was. It was definitely surprising because they have, like you said, Johnson there who throws in the mid-80s, touching higher than that. Typically when we see him, he does tend to shut us down.
Yeah.
Just like he did in the first round or the second round of sectionals last year. And we played him this year. I think we had one of the only hits that he gave up that season.
He had an incredible year, and he's another guy I'd like to get in here. I think he's pretty quiet, so it might be hard to get him to open up a little bit. But him and his brother. I mean, Xander is a great hitter and great wherever you can put him on the field. I was surprised by that loss. I thought maybe they would have a chance to get to at least the final. You never know with those IAC teams, mm-hmm. and that's why I think your run was extra special because now you beat Trumansburg and you go on to play Union Springs. Again, another long ride. But, Coach, tell me about this game. 14-13, score was up and down all over the place. A real thriller.
It was. We started out that game very, very strong. Julian Piskowski was on the mound. He threw the first, I believe it was 2 innings, just 1-2-3. And I was like, wow, we're gonna go somewhere here. And then they started timing him up. He had a few control issues, and then They scored a little bit. We scored a little bit. And I knew at that point it was just going to be a back-and-forth scoring game. And then we ran into some issues where I had some relievers come in and they were having some trouble finding the strike zone. They ran out of pitchers, I believe. It just looked like they were They were short on arms that day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, at this point in the season, I know you get a few more pitches, pitch count-wise, when you get into sectionals, but, I mean, are you just starting to run out of arms at a certain point? It's like, you know, these guys are on certain days rest and mm-hmm. all that. How do you manage that?
So we got very lucky because in our first round on Friday, Nolan threw 98 pitches, which was only three nights rest.
Mm.
So he was able to throw Monday against Trumansburg. And then he was able to throw again on Friday if we won Wednesday. With him going complete games, we were in pretty good shape as far as our arms because I could use everybody on Wednesday.
Right.
So we ended up using three pitchers on Wednesday. But I had two-ish more, I think.
Right.
Maybe two or three that more that could have thrown if we needed them.
That's a nice luxury to have.
It was.
A lot of teams I cover, you get past that 1-2 spot and it's getting real thin real mm-hmm. fast. So... Wow, so 98 pitches. What was the cutoff if he had thrown more where he had more rest? What was
so
that?
So if once it was 105 to 125 was four nights.
Okay.
So he was coming out, but he finished it. If you know what I mean. Like
yeah.
He was going to come out before the 103. I was going to use a reliever before that came up because I knew I was planning for the next game.
So that worked out almost perfectly. Yep. So. For you as a player, Ethan, Union Springs, up and down, back and forth. Again, it could be the last game of your career. What are you guys feeling? What's the emotions?
Definitely some anger. We didn't get some calls. We didn't get a lot of calls. But for an example, I mean, Gavin, you know, he was really upset. And the guys just went over him, calm him down a little bit. And this game wasn't over. Props to Caden Seymour. He gave up two walk-off hits the past, like, against DH and Afton, and he had to come in that tough spot and finish through, and I was really proud of him, just the way he battled against himself. He did a great job.
Yeah, was there anybody else on this run, Coach, that you know, that stepped up that maybe was kind of an unsung hero that didn't get the headlines? You know, anybody like that that stands out to you?
Not really. Most of the team stepped up.
Right.
Everybody was on that field, was ready for it, wanted the ball, really stepped up in the last – I would say five or six games.
Mm-hmm.
It was always interesting when your stats came in because certain teams, you know, it's going to be one or two guys. You guys, it was like this guy could have a big day at the plate. Mm-hmm. This guy could have a big day on the mound, vice versa. A lot of older guys and younger guys stepping up. So, I mean, what do you think that says about the depth of the program?
I think our depth is there. This is my sixth year with Bainbridge coaching. And we're finally at the point where I think we have stuff coming up. We're losing some stuff, but I think we're going to be consistently replacing that loss as players graduate.
How much in those 6 years has it been a goal for you to continue to establish youth programs, Pony League, Legion Ball, just making sure you guys have opportunities?
As much as I possibly can. So this was my second year of doing Pony. I did it my first year and then took time off, but there was other teams going on with my guys playing on them.
Yep.
So I didn't want to pull them too thin and have them playing on four teams
right.
Because then they get worn out.
I mean, I think that's what you got to do, right? I mean, everyone always asks me why DH is so good and why some, you know, especially softball. And I say, well, those kids are always playing. There's no mm-hmm. quote-unquote off-season for them. If you go to Hancock in December, they're in there throwing a ball around mm-hmm. on a Sunday. So – is that something you think you're going to continue to try to establish and build?
Yeah. So since my first year, I always did skill sessions at least once a week. Usually I started a little bit later, like November time. But I think after the run we just had, we're going to try to go a little more consistent and start right up in September.
Do you feel like having some success like this has put some extra energy into the program? Are you noticing that already?
I do.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting those guys excited, I think, is a huge thing. What are we looking out for in the future, you think? We got some younger kids coming up that haven't been at the varsity level that you're excited about?
Yeah, I am. I have a few now 10th graders that are going to, I think, perform really well.
That's exciting. I love hearing that some new talent is coming up. So you guys knock off Union Springs, and now this sets up one of the most interesting sectional finals I think we've seen in a while. Normally, it's 1-2 or mm-hmm. 1-3. Here we have 9-seed Bainbridge Guilford going up against 6-seed Odessa Montour Watkins Glen. And so let's take a look at their road. They had a first round bye. Then they knock off Unitego Franklin, who's the 3 seed, 2-0. And then they pull off their own upset against Thomas Edison out of Elmira, who was the 2 seed, 12-8. So at this point, are you thinking, do I got to get stats on this team? Do I got to watch this team somehow, get some film? What was your approach for the final?
The nice thing about Game Changer now is it's all there, unless you have a private profile, but usually you can join their team and look at their stats just like other teams were joining ours to check out our stats.
Sure.
I was definitely, I wouldn't say stalking, but I was getting close. I was checking their stats as much as possible. With the new Game Changer, they have film that you can actually set up a camera at the backstop and it'll upload different parts of the game. And I was watching what pitcher was throwing and watching what they were throwing, what they had, what their windup was like, just to try to get them more prepared for that game.
Is it also hard when you have limited time? I mean, you guys had, what, 3 days maybe between the semi and the final? It's not like you get a week or something like that. What can you do in those few days to try to prepare?
It's definitely tough. I think we ended up having one practice before that game.
Wow.
We were lucky enough where we were off Friday, so we had batting practice before the game that we played at UE. So that, I think, helped a little bit. If you want to talk about superstition, maybe that hurt us a little bit because we didn't do BP before any of the other games.
Right.
I guess it's catch-22.
Was it nice only having to go to UE? I mean, only. Like, I mean, you're still driving half hour, 40 minutes, but
yes.
Not
very nice.
Not that to go to the other side of the earth to play this game.
We were definitely scared we were going to be going to Watkins Glen. Definitely.
That's where it was originally
scheduled
to be played, and I called up our league representative. I was like, I thought we were supposed to be at a neutral site, and then they were going to play at Trumansburg again. And I was like, all right, we played there a week, like beginning of the week. We know the field.
Yeah.
And then they were looking into it and finally settled on UE.
I was glad because that felt more neutral. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, going back to Trumansburg, you guys have been there. You know you could do it, but that's still a much longer drive for you than it would be for them, I think. Mm-hmm. So I like when they try to take that into consideration. We have enough fields around that mm-hmm. they can make it work. I remember thinking, boy, are they really going to have to play in Watkins Glen against Watkins Glen? And I didn't, you know, you just never know what decision the section's going to mm-hmm. make. So I'm glad that all worked out. But Ethan, going into the sectional final, do you guys start thinking, and this is something I'm curious about from your student perspective. Growing up, you've seen all these BG girls teams, state championships in volleyball, doing great in basketball, and you know, the boys program looking to make a stamp for themselves, your group looking to make a stamp for you guys. Did you feel like that pressure going into this game?
There was definitely some pressure, but I know the other team felt it too.
Yeah.
We made some silly errors, couple big innings that really shouldn't have happened. I just felt like the bats weren't clicking like they should have. So yeah, there was definitely some nervous tension, some pressure, you could call it, but at the end of the day, we still did our very best in that situation. And there's not really much else you can really do, you know?
So you guys end up losing 6-4, heartbreaker of a game. So, Coach, refresh my memory. If I'm remembering right, you guys are ahead late?
Yeah, we led into the fifth, I believe. It was 2-1 into the fifth.
And then it just kind of, like both teams, it was back and forth and kind of got a little wild there at the end.
Yeah, we had one, like Ethan said, we had one big inning that we kind of, I guess it wasn't that we gave up after it, but it definitely made us hang our heads a little bit.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that put a lot of pressure on the guys was the amount of fans we had. Normally, we don't have that many fans.
Right.
We have the few group of parents, and we just play.
It was scary.
But it felt like almost all of Bainbridge was there.
Yeah. Which is a great thing.
Right, and it's not something they're used to. So.
Yeah. Coach, did you, you know, the question I asked Ethan, did you feel that way too? Like, here's a BG boys sport that you've worked very hard the last 6 years on it and building up. And now here's like maybe the payoff moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, just getting there is an amazing accomplishment. I always say in Class C, Section 4, if you're making a sectional final, you're doing the right things in any sport. But did you feel that pressure?
Absolutely. I felt so much extra pressure because I've never been there.
Yeah.
I'm getting asked questions about it. And I just, like, I don't have the answer for you guys.
I mean, is there also that pressure because other programs at BG have done well, or was it just kind of internal pressure on your team, you think?
I think it was internal pressure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. it's always interesting in the small towns because when teams have success and then that whole crowd comes out, I'm always refreshed when people admit, like, yeah, it was tough. Like, when all the eyeballs are on you guys, it's not an easy thing to perform. So, Coach, I was wondering, can you give me your background? I'm not familiar with your background all that much, so I was hoping to hear about it.
Yeah, so I grew up on Long Island in Montauk all the way at the end.
Wow.
I went to middle school. I graduated with 56 kids. And then I went to high school, which was like a culmination of six different districts. And I graduated with 286. I ended up playing baseball there all 4 years. And then I went to college and got my automotive degree. And then I didn't play in college, unfortunately.
Right.
But I decided to go for a trade school and then have a backup plan for my future instead of going straight to a school that I probably would have been able to play at.
Right. So, you know, Bainbridge, New York's a long ways from the island. How do you find yourself up here?
So when I went to Delhi, I met my wife, and she grew up in Edmiston.
That'll do it.
So
that'll do it. Yep. So on a side note, you know, we talk a lot about Delhi on here because of some of the really good programs that they have trade-wise. What was your experience like there?
I enjoyed it. It was nice to be on a small campus. Obviously the town doesn't have a lot, but just the size felt more homey to me.
Right.
And then I went to Oswego, which was completely different.
Yeah.
A lot bigger.
Some crazy weather up there. I remember that one of the first times I went to Oswego, I didn't believe that the wind was that bad. And we got off, I was working for a college at the time we were there. And I got off the charter bus, and it was like, you had these ropes to really hold on to for a reason. I never believed that.
So never let go of your door.
I've heard they have a pretty good tunnel system there too, where you can walk around
for the most part in the newer buildings.
Yeah. Yep. So for you, now that you've had a couple of months to think about that sectional final, how's it sit for you?
I'm happy that we've made it there, but I honestly think we could have won it.
Yeah. And they went on, and now I meant to look this up and I didn't. They went on and had a pretty good regional game and lost.
To, I believe it was Little Falls.
Little Falls.
Yeah. And I feel like it was a game where they were like ahead and then it came right. So long story short, I think you guys could have been in that game and then you're maybe in the state Final Four. And it's like, wow, okay.
It's crazy to think about.
It's really crazy to think about. So do you feel like there'll be pressure to try to do this every year, or is it just we got to keep building and we'll see what happens?
I feel 50-50. I feel like I might be putting the pressure on myself that we have to get there.
Yeah.
But I also think that we're going to be building and building, and I think eventually we'll get there. We have a lot of young guys coming up too, like sixth graders.
That's great. And I think playing in a league like the MAC too must prepare you very well. I mean, you must have some great aspirations to try to win the league too, because you've been close and it's right there. But, you know, DH is a hurdle, Afton's a hurdle, Unitigo Franklin's a hurdle, you name it. So how do you feel like the league prepares you guys for sectional play?
Very well. I think the MAC is probably one of the better leagues in Class C. Well, unfortunately, we do play some Ds, but they're the better of the Ds. Right. Seating-wise, it hurts a little bit, but it definitely prepares us and gets us ready for that next level.
It is funny, right? Like, DH and Afton are Ds, probably some of the better games you're going to get, but it almost hurts you guys sectional points-wise. Like, first round, you guys are 9-8. You're the 9 seed. Spencer Vanette and Kander 7-9. They're the 8 seed, probably because they just had a couple of bigger school losses somewhere in there. Have you tried to balance that out by playing like a Norwich and some of those teams that you played this
Absolutely.
Year?
Absolutely. We played Norwich twice. We were in the Sydney tournament, and I know Dale tries to get two other Bs. This year was Norwich and Seton. So at least we get one B. They played Seton, so they get a B as well. But I also try to even out our schedule with either Cs or Bs. The other thing that hurts us is we do end up playing a few extra Ds just because of the way softball lays out. And their baseball team wants to play us because they're coming to us already or we're going to them, and it's an extra game.
It is funny because you guys end up playing Charlotte Valley this year, you know, kind of the same situation, and they go on and make it to their sectional final in Class D. So it's like you guys really didn't have any gimmies this year that I can think of off the top of my head. So
everybody was pretty good, it felt like.
Ethan, for you, I mean, what a way to end it, right? I mean, when it was done and you're on the way home from that game against, you know, Odessa Montour, Watkins Glen, how did it feel? How does it sunk in for you?
About the win?
Just I mean, about your career's over. Like, everything you've done, playing sports at BG is now done.
Well, if you really know me, I'm always working in the off season. If I'm in football and during that summer, I'm working on football. And you know how it goes, winners baseball. I mean, it still hurts me to this day because I want to go back and I want to redo that game with the guys that are my best friends. But at the same time, like I said before, I'm kind of glad it's over, but I'm not glad it's over. But I will forever remember everything, and I'm grateful for the opportunity and the coaches at BG. I really enjoyed my time.
What is Coach sitting right here next to you? What has he meant to you, you know, over your high school career?
Well, I remember he was going to call me up in eighth grade, and I failed the varsity test. But I'm really grateful he was going to give me the opportunity to come up and show what I can do, sadly, during the COVID year when we were shut down. But I was very grateful. I'm always grateful for coaches giving kids opportunities to come help out. And I was definitely going to jump on that train. And he means a lot to me. He means a lot to all the other guys. We look up to him. And I'm sad that I don't have another year with him.
Yeah. Coach, what was it about this group of seniors that, you know, you've been with them for a long time now, mm-hmm. probably the longest you've been with any group at BG. What's it been like having them come through?
Watching them grow has just been phenomenal. Seeing them as short 7th and 8th graders and now seniors, it's just been great. Seeing them develop, watching him. He's played multiple different positions for me for baseball. I know there was a few times where I made him go behind the plate, and he was unofficially retired from catching. But it's just been great to see them develop and become young men.
I feel like, Ethan, you've been the jack of all trades. I think of football specifically. It's like, all right, well, now he's quarterback. All right, well, now he's running back. All right, now he's a wide receiver. Is that something you've prided yourself on over the last couple of years of, all right, if a coach asks me to do this, I'm going to do it?
100%. I love football. I will play anywhere to be on that field, honestly. Quarterback was fun. I enjoyed it. A lot of pressure. That's why I was really happy to make that move to running back that following year and just focused on what I can do and help my teammates along the way. And then being able to kind of go out like a Luke Merrill type and be a halfback, yeah. Go out split wide. It was definitely awesome. I've always looked up to Luke. I played with him in Pee-wees, and he was an animal.
Man-child, that guy. Yeah, he came up here to pick up an award one time. I think my hand still hurts from where he shook my hand. What's it like trying to tackle a guy like that?
Honestly, Peyton Mosier, my sophomore year, I wanted nothing part of it. He was running past me and all here. Yeah. That was a game I think you were broadcasting.
Yeah,
that guy is fast.
Saw Peyton peel off a lot of great runs. Saw Luke just mm-hmm. hammer a lot of people. You know, Luke Merrill, Harpersville guy. I wrote an article on Luke. It's on my website, natelaw.com. I kind of compare him to like this lumberjack, just this guy that's like tough as nails type of guy. I can't even remember the way I worded it, but it's worth going back for a read because really great guy. But what's your favorite football memory? I mean, playing Sydney, playing Afton, Harpersville. I mean, a lot of these big rivalry games had to mean a lot to you.
Surprisingly, it was beating DH.
Hmm.
Because I remember before the game, they were talking a lot of smack, and especially to Joey Doyle, and we were just not having it. We knew it was going to be like some smash-mouth football, and it was a big win, and we all were pretty happy about that.
You know, a Friday night game at BG under the lights, you guys do always get a pretty good crowd down there. What's that experience like, running out with the flag and all that? It has to be a lot of fun.
It is the best feeling in the entire world. Even if you don't win any games, which we've had a rough couple years, but the people still support us, and it means the absolute most to all of us.
You know, I know Coach Lorimer isn't going to be back this year, but you know, he's been with the program a long, long time. What did he mean to you?
Coach Lorimer meant a lot to me. Like I said, he gave me the opportunity to come up and be with a bunch of competitors my ninth grade year, and we had a lot of talent, but I'm sad that he's gone, but he will definitely be missed.
He's somebody I'd like to get in. I always meant to bring him in here and have a football chat with him because I He always has an interesting way of looking at the game and mm-hmm. trying to find some different angle. And I still will bring him in and talk to him.
He knows the game very well.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss having him out there. But I always thought he had creative ways to try to use you. Did you appreciate that? I mean,
yeah, it definitely meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to be like a key piece in the offense. But hard work, that's what it does to you.
Yeah,
you know, you just feel really appreciated in that locker room.
Favorite football and baseball memory at BG?
I got to say my favorite football memory was that hit on Florence. Coming back from the hip pointer injury, and I was like, okay, I'm pretty upset. They keep pitching the ball. I'm going to read it. I'm just going to be aggressive. What do we have to lose here? My favorite baseball memory has to be the run. I mean, it just has to be.
Yeah.
A lot of good guys on that team that I will miss. A lot of good people I've met. Coach Race was a big help. He did our scorebook or book or whatever we call it. Mm-hmm. He was a big help and always a guy that was fun to talk to before games and just hanging out with friends, hitting some baseballs. There's nothing better.
Yeah. No, a really solid group of guys. And, you know, Coach, what about your staff? I mean, obviously it's more than just a one-man show. Who really helped this year and stepped up to help you out?
So practices, unfortunately, I am alone.
You are?
For games, it was Coach Race, Cameron Race, doing the book, and my modified coach came to as many home games and even away games for our sectional run. He redid his schedule for baseball for his modified team to be able to come to some of the sectional games. So he helped out a lot.
At a game, I always see these coaching staffs. You know, they got 2-3 guys. Then sometimes I forget, like, yeah, maybe on a Tuesday practice, it's just you out mm-hmm. there having to run the show. So what has that been like for you as a young coach to kind of develop your own style, your own practice plan? I mean, that stuff takes a lot of work. I think people don't realize.
It's been tough. I always think about if I had an extra coach, if I had that extra guy, I could separate and we could work a little bit more one-on-one. I'm going to be lucky this coming year because Garrett Ives is going to come back.
Oh, nice.
He's going to be my assistant coach. We're working on his coaching cert right now. But he'll come back and we'll be able to separate and he'll be able to work with either the outfielders or the infielders and we can do a lot more individualized. So that's more of a learning process for me to include my second coach now.
Yeah.
Because he helped me with Pony Team this year and there was times where I'm like, I didn't even remember you were going to be here because I've been doing it for 6 years without anybody.
How was Pony this year? I mean, some really good teams. Unitigo ends up winning the whole thing. Some good Oneana teams. How was it for you?
It was good. We were a very young team. We had a hiccup there in the middle where we were, I want to say we were 3-1, 4-1, and somebody challenged ages of two of my players and ended up not being able to have them on the roster anymore. So we still ended up winning. We won 3 more games after that.
Yep.
But we lost that chance of being in the championship.
Gotcha. See, I didn't mean to bring up bad blood. Pony definitely has some interesting, and Legion too. There's like all these little rules that are very, not confusing to me, but I mean, it's tough, you know, mm-hmm. and I feel like there are some challenges from time to time and all that stuff. I know Windsor Legion ran into some stuff this year where it was like guys weren't eligible, et cetera. So I'm sorry that it didn't work out for you guys.
It was the purpose of me doing the season was to get the younger guys ready for the next level.
Yeah.
I had a lot of the ninth graders that played modified that didn't see pitching over 45 in the modified season play at least 6 to 8 games at the JV level. So that it's not going to be a big surprise when they get to the varsity level because we don't have that JV at BG.
Right. I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, it's all hopefully getting them ready for varsity, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes I feel like maybe that gets lost, you know, like this summer ball stuff is to help us down the road, mm-hmm. hopefully. So, well, as we hit the home stretch here, I mean, you know, Ethan, for you, as you look back on your BG career as a whole, I mean, you happy the way things went? Would you change anything? What do you think?
I definitely wouldn't change anything. Honestly, if I could change one thing, it would be I needed to work harder. During the baseball season, my swing was all funked up, and it really took a while for me to get out of that. And I remember just being just upset every practice. I'm like, something's just not right.
Right.
So I would actually go after practice, take the tee, and Gavin Gifford would drive by all the time watching me just get mad, throw my bat. But something just clicked during that run. I just like it's like I found out how to hit again, and it made me really happy that I was able to contribute and help the guys win.
when someone's struggling like that, coach, baseball-wise, is it hard to tinker with a swing or things like that? How do you approach that?
I try to give little things to try to work on, but I've taken on the philosophy of you're going to have a lot of different coaches in your life, and they're all going to tell you a different way to do things.
It's very true.
Incorporate it, try it, and if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. Not everything's going to work. So what does hurt for me being by myself is I give some players some advice or tell them to tinker with something, but they don't have that other one to come in and say, hey, why don't you try it this way? But yes, I do try to help a little bit, say what I'm seeing him do just so he can try to think about it. I try not to make them overthink what that problem is, because if they start overthinking it, for example, if it's dropping your hands, if they're dropping their hands and I say, if I repeat it and repeat it and then just keep drilling it, they start overthinking the dropping their hands part, keep their hands up, but then they forget about everything else.
Right. It's great advice, actually. It's something I hadn't really thought about. I mean, you do get a lot of different advice from different people, and how do you settle into what really does work for you at the end of the day? So correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know who hit it. Did someone at BG, one of your guys, hit one over the fence to the house in Wright this year? Did that happen this year?
I don't think so.
No?
But Connor. Connor hit the road.
No, Connor hits. No, Connor two-hopped the fence and left.
Wow, and left?
He hit.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
He hit one over the fence at Union Springs, which was a big one. We were down at that point, and he hit just a bomb, and it was the first one that they've had hit at their field that season.
Wow.
And it just picked everybody back up. So that was very, very helpful.
I'm thinking of, I think one of the McPhersons was there that day taking photos. It must have been the shot to left, because we were talking about, had we ever seen a ball go out there? You know, I mean, in left, that's a long, I mean, I don't know what it would be, but how far out do you think that ball was?
So I would say it was close to 380. I know we mapped it on, drew a line out to it on Google Maps and stuff. I know it was my first or second year. Mm-hmm. There was a player from Sherburn Earlville that hit one, and it was questionable whether it went over the fence or if it hopped over the fence.
Wow.
Because my left fielder just stopped and ran around the fence to go get it. If it went over, he ended up getting robbed because the ump gave him a ground rule double.
Wow. That's a shot.
It was.
There.
It definitely looked like it went over, but I kept my mouth shut.
And I honestly think if Connor continues, he might be the one to put it out.
That would be – I hope I'm there. I was there probably 4 to 5 years ago when somebody hit it over the right field fence and into the lawn on that house.
Was it Tommy?
I don't know. I don't
Evan
remember.
Heiser and Tommy hit one.
It might have been Evan.
It was more towards center. I can't remember. I don't have many lefties.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who it was, but I just remember thinking, I don't see many balls carry out of here, and that was cool to see. But the stuff going to left, that's
incredible.
That's a shot.
That's incredible. I mean, I don't see many shots like that. So, well, we always end with asking our guest this very tough question. So, Ethan, we'll start with you. Favorite local place to eat?
Like how local? Like
it can be anywhere. I mean, if you want a Bay Ridge spot, great. But if you want to give a Sydney spot or something,
well,
that's fine, too.
I got to support my favorite McPherson, so I would go Jerry's. I mean, I've never had bad food there.
I make a mistake. Well, not a mistake. I make the habit of going there probably too much. I love going there. So good shout out for Jerry's for sure. And for all those guys do. You go in there. I was just there yesterday. And they're talking about changing the photos on the wall because fall sports is coming. Mm-hmm. They got the spring sports photos up. If you haven't been there, Jerry's in Bainbridge. That's definitely a good place to go. Coach, what about you?
I have to say, I agree, Jerry's. I don't live in Bainbridge. I live in South New Berlin, so... In New Berlin, really the only restaurant I have is New York Pizzeria, or everybody calls it Frankie's. So that's got to be my go-to when I'm over there.
Well,
Jerry's is definitely good.
We certainly appreciate Jerry's and Frankie's. I mean, New York Pizzeria has been a sponsor of the show since day one. They've just been so supportive of anything that I needed, not only for the podcast, but for our scholarship golf tournament. I mean, I feel like they do a lot for that community. And boy, so if you're living in Southtown... The new gas station, man. It's going up. It's going to be a big deal there.
I think so.
I came through one day, and they were working on the pumps, and then the next day I came through, that whole old building was gone, and I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to look sharp there, but it'd be nice if Southtown had something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I live right over the hill in Gilbertsville, and we don't really have anything either. We do have the bakery there and the Empire House, but if we had something like a Jerry's or something, I would be thrilled for sure. Mm-hmm. So, well, guys, I, again, appreciate you guys coming in, talking about the Cinderella run. I hope we're talking in the future, Coach, about a MAC championship, a sectional championship, and maybe in a couple of years we'll have a trooper sitting here. What do you think?
I'm thinking so.
Well, guys, thank you again.
Thanks for having us.
That'll wrap up episode 226 today. Again, all about BG baseball with Ethan Beams. Just graduated. He's moving on, hopefully to be a trooper in the near future, and head coach Phil Bianchi. So check back in the archives. We've had a ton of BG episodes. I'm trying to think of the most recent one we had. Probably Meg Palmateer. Had a great chance to talk with her about her high school and college career. We've had Coach Conway. We've had several others. So check back in the archives. We'll see you again soon on the Nate Lull Podcast.
You've been listening to the Nate Lull Podcast. Download each new episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.